It's the We've Given Up episode. Join us on this journey through hysteria as we stumble through and try to remember what happened in the cricket.
Yeah, good. Or don't join us. It's up to you. It's better if you don't. Also, can you ask your mum about jacarandas?
It's season 3, episode 4 of Big Bash Banter. We have come crawling, plodding, meandering away to the end of this season. We've finally done it. We've made it. Maurice, we're back. Welcome to the pod. And also, could you please explain to our wonderful listeners the weird audio that will be present for this episode?
Well, in keeping with our limp to the finish line, I've turned up at your house today and you said to me, I can't be fucked setting this shit up. Let's go sit outside. So here we are outside, underneath the jacarandas that don't want to flower.
If there are any jacaranda experts listening to the pod, it's not a gardening pod, but I mean, fuck it, at this stage it can be whatever we want it to be. So my jacarandas aren't giving a nice full purple flower. There's a couple of flowers peeking through, but it's more leaf than flower. If you have any solutions for this, please email us bigbashbander@gmail.com. Have I told you about the email address?
Just that you get lots of porn.
It's extraordinary. So you know the way I responded to a couple of those scammers, and I read a few emails on the air in, I think, season 1 or season 2?
Mm.
The entire inbox, like, we get a good, like, 100 emails a day just being like...
You're kidding.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding at all.
Is it because it's got Big and Bash in it?
I've never made the connection.
I can't think, unless you're just furiously Googling porn all day.
This is from, but this doesn't happen to my other email accounts. It's just the Big Bash Banter one. So I'd put.
But which one have you subscribed to Pornhub on?
I did it under your one, Bruce.
That explains that. Then.
I've got one.
You should see
from,
my Timu suggestions.
These email titles are great.
Go on.
Can I show my ass? Could we send you nudes? Oh, Jesus, this other one I can't even read. Happening now. Let's get loose together. It's just extraordinary.
That one could just be like a warm-up routine.
Call me now for easily get together. Anyways, this goes on for 600 or so emails that are sitting there. So, anyways. So, look, I think the account needs to be just deleted and burnt.
Yeah. I mean, we tried. Didn't we?
We tried.
We did try.
Anything else, Dad, before we dive into the team that tried?
I don't know if we should be sitting so close to traffic in the state we're in. This is just wild. You might be interested to know that I was successful in finding out what that record was that Susie Bates did.
Fantastic. So you mentioned before we started recording that Susie Bates, the great New Zealand cricketer who played, of course, this season in the WBBL, and way back in 2015 for the Scorchers, I hear, broke a record this year. What was it, Maurice?
She, in the second T20 that they played against Pakistan, notched up 300.
Jesus Christ.
T20 eyes. Internationals, obviously. Which is pretty incredible. She's been around a long time. And we heard she's only been born in 87, wasn't she?
That's right, 1987. Yes.
Yeah. So, and obviously she's...
toward the end of her career?
Yeah, I think she's retiring this year.
Mm.
But now I'm just trying to think, was it 300 T20s or was it 300 international appearances altogether? Might be all together.
Either way, a great achievement.
Yeah. Might be for her. I'm really happy for her. I've always thought she's a great tan.
Well, she's been big for years for New Zealand along with Devine at the top of the order.
Mm.
Perhaps we can segue now into the Scorchers.
Mm.
So When last we left you, good listeners, the Scorchers were absolutely flying. And we posited that, as did that vehicle, that this was the best Scorchers season ever.
Well, our favourite at least, yeah.
Our favourite Scorchers season ever. You had firing at the top of the order, particularly Beth Mooney. She was just scoring 50 after 50. She leads by a country mile. Meg Lanning, who's second on this list, as the most 50s scored in the WBBL. And then you partner her with Sophie Devine, the single most successful partnership in WBBL history. We're winning games.
Mm.
At the time, we're on top of the ladder.
Yep.
We're marching towards the final.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very clearly, particularly as we've got our bowling squad together, like we are going to just march through these other teams,
mm-hmm.
which don't include the Sydney Sixers because they weren't good enough,
no.
And win another WBBL title.
Mm.
Then we get to the challenge. Before I move to the actual game itself, do you want to, anything about that setup that you'd like to add to?
No, just the excitement that we had of finding Ainsworth, obviously, and then the form that Edgar was in. Yeah, it all looked up, didn't it?
Then we get to the final. Beth Mooney opening together with Winfield Hill. And then Paparo's back in at three like she was last year. Nat Siver Brunt at four. Okay, you can put Siver Brunt anywhere. I'm not going to, you know, that's fine. And then Devine at five where, I'm sorry, that's just, Devine has not been the number five. She's at her best when she opens, not just historically, but this year.
Hmm.
What happened here, Maurice? That's why we only made 130 off our 20 overs. What in the shit went on?
Well, I told you from the beginning I wasn't a fan of Winfield Hill, didn't I?
You did? You did say that?
I think she messed it up. She messed up the rhythm. It should have been Devine. Even if she got out early, at least everybody else has had a practice then in that scenario, you know, and what's required of them and when. But then they go and fucking mess it all up when it matters most, and yet there's no continuity. How do you? I don't know. It's just very disappointing. It's not to say that the other team didn't play well.
Hmm. We're talking, of course, about the Brisbane Heat, who the reason they were in the Challenger is because the previous day they beat the Sydney Thunder quite comfortably by 44 runs in the eliminator to be able to face the Perth Scorchers in the Challenger.
Mm. And I think in the one against us, Grace Harris obviously did Grace Harris. It's just disappointing when when the other team's key players fire and yours don't. Because it really would be great to see them both at their best head-to-head. Like, that's what you want to see. So that was disappointing, but I don't know.
I guess my theory is that, it's probably not even a theory, it's probably just you know, fact based on what happened. When last we met our wonderful listeners, we were talking about how Maddie Dark at number three had opened up options for the team, but she hadn't been able to consistently deliver since then on that form. So I guess it made the Scorchers panic. In this game, she'd been put down to six.
Mm.
And again, and the whole order just went completely kaput.
Mm.
That number three position, I think that's the problem as opposed to the openers being the issue.
Mm.
It's who do we put in at three? Where do we go with that long term?
I think Paparo. And I don't know why I think that. I think maybe she has, obviously she has the capacity to go through the whole innings, so that's a good start. She's also quite quick with the run scoring. So you don't really lose momentum if you lose an early wicket. And she's been there so long. I think she just brings stability. It would be interesting to see what happens if we get Nat Siver Brunt for another season.
You're saying put her in at three?
Did she tried a bit of bowling at the end there, didn't she? I think in that last game she tried.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yes. In fact, she took the wickets of Grace Harris and Amelia Kerr.
Yeah. Well, then I think it becomes, again, the balance of if she's going to be bowling, does she bat so early in the order? When does she play for England? She plays more mid-order, doesn't she?
Fifth. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, maybe Mooney Devine, obviously, open. Three Paparo. Four Matty Dark. Five Sever Bryant. Six King.
Yeah, I always like bringing King in a bit earlier because she just belts the absolute hell out of the ball and anything can happen. Party time with King at the crease.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a bit of a sad kind of fizzling out to the year, wasn't it?
Mm.
It was a bit, I don't know.
Just bit of a non-event.
Bit of a non-event after all the excitement.
Mm.
I don't really want to talk any more about the final, do you? Well, we sort of call it the final. I mean, obviously it wasn't the actual the final for the cup, but it was our final game.
Yeah, no, I'm done with that. I do think, though, we might not even have made it to the final, but we are definitely the winners. In the same way that England won the World Cup. Or India, even. And it's not just a moral victory, it's on paper, we had the better players.
And you're referring here to the team of the tournament.
Yes. I think four Scorchers made it in.
Ainsworth.
Yep.
Obviously Moons.
And Devine. Edgar.
I was going to say, was it Edgar?
Yeah, it was Edgar.
Yeah.
That's not a bad percentage, eh?
But I guess it's a bit more than an English victory, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's no way any of those players were in the team of the tournament.
No, you see, that's also correct. So it's more of an Indian victory.
Yeah, like make a final, get everyone selected, and then lose.
Mm. Just choking that old South African traditional way.
I guess we can say this now because since we've no longer talking about the WPL, we have lost our Indian listeners.
Shit, wasn't that auction on last night?
Yes, but we're not going into that, are we?
No, because I didn't watch it.
No. Speaking of things I didn't watch, no, I watched the final. I'm talking about the Heat versus the Strikers, and congratulations to the Adelaide Strikers.
Oh, you know what? As far as other teams go, Strikers for me.
Yes, they're not the team in this game I have the beef with, right?
Good.
So what you've got, right, in this game, so this is me just encapsulating the final of the WBBL. The team wearing the blue shirt and black pants versus the team wearing the blue shirt and the black pants.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about this before. Why don't the Brisbane Heat wear their black uniform, which looks awesome, for one? It looks a lot better than their actual blue jersey. But also in this game, for God's sake, like, you might as well be wearing your whites if you can't distinguish between the two teams based on the colours that they're wearing.
Mm. I appreciate that they're technically teal.
I need to get political, Maurice.
But so there's only two bluish coloured teams in the whole tournament. Why do I have to choose shades so similar? Can one not be dark blue and light blue?
Sure. That's an option. Laura Vulvart, though.
Yes.
I really enjoyed seeing her this season in the WBBL.
Yeah.
And she did hit that early on. The Adelaide Strikers were in trouble. And then Vulvart, in the fourth over, which was Jonathan's first over, scored 13 from it. And I think one of those was one of those crisp, classic cover drives. And it was just like, this is good to watch.
That's what we have the Big Bash League for. It's to see those, you know, those world-class athletes perform somewhere accessible to us. It's very exciting. I loved it. And I'm also a big Talia McGrath fan, and Amanda Jade Wellington, completely underrated. So underrated. In fact, I don't know why she's not in the Australian squad and Sutherland is.
Speaking of the Australian squad, it's been confirmed. Alyssa Healy as our permanent captain.
And Vice Captain McGraw.
Yes.
Yeah, love her.
So that's pretty much the season. One of the things which made people lose their minds, what was a completely disproportionate response, was we saw Amy Shark bowl the first ball at a game. Reminiscent of the...
But this is men's cricket now.
Yes. Mm. Whatever game. Sorry, we'll just broaden out our discussion here. Reminiscent of the American baseball where they'll get someone famous to... yes, I'll hear your thoughts on whether Hamby Shark qualifies for that. To bowl the first, or the first pitch, isn't it, in baseball? As you can see, I follow the sport closely. I liked it as a concept.
I love it as a concept, purely for comedy value. Because I tell you what, bowling is a little bit different to pitching. You don't just chuck it. I mean, okay, obviously there's nuance in proper professional pitching. But it's much easier to throw a ball and to bowl it if you're a complete amateur. I'm excited for it. I would love to see out there. You know another thing that I love? That South Africa did it years ago, and then New Zealand did it more recently. But I don't know if Australia's ever done it. So the national squad of whatever format cricket, I think probably T20, versus a team that normally plays another sport. So South Africa was rugby. So there was a Springboks team and a Proteas team, and they versed each other in a T20. It was a fucking sellout. It was so popular. And the Springboks actually won that match. I don't know if that's surprising to anybody. But how good would it be if we embraced it, you know, sort of as a one-off... What's the right word? Like a showcase match. Imagine the Matildas versus the Australian squad. How much fun would that be? Or the Sevens. Or... I mean, the poor Diamonds are getting such bad press lately.
Mm. That's the netballers.
Yeah. I think that'd be great. Get them all mic'd up. Get some commentary happening. That'd be fun.
Gina Reinhart can promise to provide the funding for this concept and then withdraw it at the last minute. What celebrities would you... What celebrities would you propose to bowl the first ball for the Scorchers? Like, and if we've got to start with, like, Amy Shark, like, what are we talking, like? Do we go for, like, the old guard? Like, Daryl Summers? You know, Rick Arden? Or do we go for someone newer? You know, someone that the youth can identify with. Like,
Taylor Swift, is that you?
Like,
should we get Taylor Swift in?
Yes, sure. I think we'll have her.
What about Britney?
Britney Spears?
Yeah.
I guess she'd be part of that older guard, though, wouldn't she?
I think she's come back. I think the kids of today know Britney.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'd be happy to see Britney.
Britney, if you're out there.
If you're out there. I think you mean if you're listening. I think she's real. Duh.
Can you imagine what series of events would have to unfold for Britney Spears to be listening to this shit?
Considering she juggles knives for fun.
Oh, Jesus.
It's probably not that far-fetched.
And what is... How does this fit in with juggling knives, though?
It's just outrageous.
Why would you do it?
Why would anybody do it? It's dangerous. Britney or Taylor Swift? What about you?
Yeah, I think I'll stick with Daryl Summers. Is this like the episode that we release it? It's just that bad that we're just like, you know, we're done here.
Thanks for watching, guys. But
we are pulling up stumps.
Thanks for listening, Evan.
See, the key normally is our season finales. We get in Wasteman, and he he normally carries the finale because he has this...
because he sticks it out to the end even when we start losing and where you and I stop watching.
That's right. I think, yeah, because he has, I guess, knowledge.
He's properly dedicated. I hate your jacarandas. Do you think they get too much water?
Too much water? Don't think so.
Don't they usually like look like they're dying just before they start flowering? Like maybe they're holding leaves for too long.
Well, this is the thing they have. I'm going to have to listen to this. Edit it out. Why? Why are you doing this to me?
You can leave it in.
Fuck. How can we have a... How can we have a cricket podcast bookended by talk about jacarandas?
It's a very Australian theme. It's... I just wish we had a crow in the background.
Oh, there'll be one soon. Do you have anything else to add?
I thought it was very interesting that that game got cancelled yesterday. Between the Scorchers and the Renegades, the men now.
Yes, yes. Go on. That was in Geelong.
Because the pitch was unsafe because it was too wet. Now, as I recall, they were saying it was uneven bounce. It was hard to predict, basically, where the ball was going to go, and it's dangerous and whatever, whatever, whatever. Dangerous for the bloke at the other end who's wearing a helmet. Now, imagine you're playing out at the beach, North Sydney Oval. You're fielding and you've got no equipment on. And the ball hits a ditch and fucking pelts off into the corners and wherever. That's pretty unsafe.
Yep.
Wouldn't you stop that game?
Yeah, I would have thought you shouldn't play a season opener in a sandpit, but it is what it is.
I mean, that's not even talking about the risk of rolling ankles and shit.
We done here?
I mean, we've got nothing left to say, do we? Can you edit in the sound of something hitting a car?
Well done, Maurice. All right, everyone. You will be happy to learn that that's all we have time for on season 4, episode 4. Oh, season 3, episode 4 of Big Bash Banter. Thanks very much for enduring us on what has been a rather bumpy season, but we'll catch you down the road. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Get off there.
Okay, bye.